Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, we find this admonition about our relationship to the unbelieving world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Notice what he says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." In the Bible, Egypt is a type of the world, and so we can look at the Exodus and learn a great deal about our relationship to the world. We're in the world, Jesus says, but we're not of the world. And that's because the Lord does not want us to be influenced by the world. So the Lord has done several things to separate us from the world. When we get saved, the Lord's intention is for us to separate from and eventually get out of the world. So today what we're going to look at is what the Lord has done and how we are to escape Egypt. Okay? First of all, we have this relationship. As Moses came to Egypt to save Israel, so Jesus came to save us. As Moses came to Egypt to save Israel, so Jesus came to Egypt to save us. Look back here in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3, you'll remember, of course, that Moses was already there, but he had left to go to Midian, and there he met and married his wife, Zipporah, and then when it was time for the Exodus, the Lord appeared to Moses in a burning bush, caught his attention, told him what the commission was, and sent him back to Egypt to get Israel out of there. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Well, you see, that's what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 2, in verses 13 through 15, "When they were departed, behold," then that's the wise men, "behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." All right, so the Lord called Moses and then called Israel out of Egypt. The Lord called Jesus and then called Jesus out of Egypt. And in both cases, that was so that they, that is Moses, and Jesus could take people with them when they came out. So as Moses came to Egypt to save Israel, so Jesus came to Egypt to save us. The second thing is this. As the Lord redeemed Israel from Egypt, so Jesus redeemed us by his blood. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 23. 2 Samuel chapter 7, look at verse 23. The Bible says, what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from nations and their gods. You see, there is no other nation like Israel, because God has never come to any other nation to redeem for himself a people. And he redeemed Israel to himself when he brought them out of Egypt, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. Now, the way God did this involved the shedding of the blood of a lamb. That's why there is the remembrance and the memorial of the Passover. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, the Lord says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So on the night that the Lord came through Egypt and got Israel out of Egypt, he killed all the firstborn, but he did not kill the firstborn of Israel, because they had taken the Passover lamb, shed his blood, and then put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel of the houses. And when the Lord came by and saw that blood, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, we sing a song like that in our hymn books. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Same thing. We draw our analogy from the Passover lamb. Our Passover lamb is Jesus Christ. He is the one who shed his blood that we might be saved and be redeemed to God Almighty. In the New Testament, we find in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 14, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And so our redemption by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is typified by the redemption of Israel from Egypt, indicating that when the Lord came and shed his blood, not only did he save us from our sins, but the idea was to separate us or to pull us out from the world. So that brings us to the next point. As the Lord separated Israel from Egypt, so the Lord separates us from the world. Look in 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8 and look at verse 53. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 53, during the dedication of the temple, Solomon says this, for thou didst separate them, speaking of his fathers in Israel, thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest out our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. So there was a separation. Israel was separated from all the nations of the world and separated from Egypt. So as the Lord separated Israel from Egypt, so the Lord separates us from the world. We've read the verse already when we introduced the message today, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, let's pick it up from verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So you see, in this particular passage that we are the temple of the living God, and God dwells in us and walks in us, and He is our God, and we are His people, and as a result, then we have a separation from the world, in that the world, God's not dwelling in them, and they're not in God, so we are to come out from among them and be separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. In other words, we are not to have connections with the world that cause us to be worldly. The world, when people in the world get saved, they are to come out like we have come out. We are not to go in and be so much like them that we can't tell the difference. So there's a separation. There's not communion with light and darkness. Now, you may be already beginning to question the direction of this message by saying, aren't we supposed to have an influence with the world? And the answer to that question is yes. And before we finish this message, we will certainly talk about that in great detail. But just notice these similarities. We are to escape the world. As Moses came to Egypt to save Israel, so Jesus came to Egypt to save us. As the Lord redeemed Israel from Egypt, so Jesus redeemed us by His blood. And as the Lord separated Israel from Egypt, so the Lord separates us from the world. He's our Father. We are His children. That's not like the world at all. The next thing is, as Moses carried the bones of Joseph out of Egypt, so the Lord raptures us out of the world. That is, our bones go flying out of here at some point. Look in Joshua chapter 24. When Joseph died, there were instructions to place his bones in a coffin. And the reason is, when Israel was to leave, they were to take his bones with them. Joshua chapter 24, and look at verse 32. All right, the Bible says, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. All right, so when Israel left Egypt, so did Joseph's bones. Jesus left the world and took his bones with him, and when he comes back, we go out, and our bones go with us. We come up out of the grave. There is the rapture of the church, in which time our bodies, which have been buried, are literally brought up out of the grave and are reunited with our souls and spirits and with the Lord forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, when Israel left Egypt, they took the bones of Joseph and brought them out to the promised land. When we die, Jesus Christ returns and He takes our bones, our bodies, out. We rise, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We rise, and then we're caught up together with those that are alive at His coming, and we are with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the removal of Joseph's bones from Egypt is a picture of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture of the church. One more thing. As Egypt was glad when Israel left, so the Lord will be glad when we're gone. Psalm 105, verse 38 says, Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. And, the world hates Christians. I mean, they're supposed to anyway. I think what's happened is Christians are so much like the world now that the world can't tell the difference, and there's not that hatred as there was back in the times of the martyrs, back in the times of the Lord Jesus Christ, back in the time of His disciples. You don't see that type of persecution going on so much today, not here. It will return, but right now there's so much worldliness, we're so much like Laodicea today that the world just doesn't see the distinction. Well, in Egypt, when Israel and all those plagues had come, well, they were ready for Israel to get out. And when they left, they were glad. And by the time we leave here, the world will be glad we're gone. Now, they won't be glad ultimately because of the destruction that comes, but they will be temporarily. So, you see then the parallels between Moses and Jesus in that they, one got Egypt, Israel out of Egypt, and the Lord got us out of the world. Both had a redemption. Both have a separation. Both have a rapture in type or in fact. And both leave a people who are glad when they're gone. Now, in spite of our separation from the world, we're still here. In other words, when we got saved, the Lord didn't call us out of the world immediately. We're still here. And the question is, if in fact there's a separation, if in fact there is a removal, why are we still here? What are we doing here? Well, if you escape Egypt through the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a definite purpose for you being here. There's a definite purpose in me remaining here. And that is, listen, that is for you and for me to take as many others in the world with us when we go as we can. In other words, we are here to be a testimony to the world. We are to separate from the world and bring them out just like Moses brought them out and bring them out just like the Lord Jesus Christ brought them out. Turn with me to John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, this is the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed to his Father before his crucifixion. If you have a red letter Bible, you see all these words are in red. That's because this is, if you will, the Lord's prayer, truly the Lord's prayer. In John chapter 17, look at verse 9. The Lord is praying, and he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. That's Judas Iscariot. None of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, I read a big portion of scripture there from John chapter 17 all the way from verse 9 to verse 21. It's a big portion of scripture. But in there, we see several things. First of all, we see that we are to remain in the world. He didn't take us out. He kept us here. And there's a reason that for that. He wants us to be here to do something for him. He says, we're not of the world, okay? But he didn't remove us out of the world. And why is that? Well, it's very simple. We are sent to the world to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. He left us here for a reason. People have said, you know, people have approached death through an accident, through a disease, through some other type of ailment or injury that could have killed them. And they survive it. And they say, well, then I understand that the Lord has left me here for some reason. Well, if you're saved, I know what that reason is, most definitely. There are other people who are lost that need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, and God intends to use you to tell them. Look, what did Jesus say? He said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. He left you here, even though the world hates you. And he didn't take us out of the world, even though we're to be separated from the world, for a simple reason. We are to have influence with people in the world that we know who need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You have been sent. I also sent them into the world, Jesus said. Just the way he was sent. Well, he was sent to take us and to save us and take us out of the world. So your calling is the same. Just like Moses went to Egypt to take Israel out, and he had to testify and do things in order to convince the Jews that he was for real, and then they followed him out and went into the wilderness. Jesus came, convinced us through his death, burial, and resurrection that he is in fact the Savior of the world. We trusted him as our Savior, and we're going out with him. And in the meantime, we're separated. But not so much so that we have no influence with those to whom we preach. We have a responsibility to Jesus that others should believe on him through our word. Okay, look at it. John chapter 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You have a testimony. You have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have contacts. One time years ago, I heard a preacher preaching, and he put a little triangle up on a piece of paper, and he said, now look, in trying to lead souls to Jesus Christ, in soul winning, like the points of this triangle, there are three things that are necessary. At the top of the triangle, he had this, a willing Savior. All right, we know that Jesus Christ is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So there's definitely a willing Savior. And then there needs to be a willing servant. That's you. That's me. And the problem is, in some of our separation from the world, we have gotten so separated that we are no longer willing servants to a willing Savior. We're not telling anybody about Jesus Christ. When was the last time you gave somebody a gospel tract that they could read and get saved? When was the last time you gave somebody a Bible that they could read and get saved and grow? When was the last time that you used your mouth, your voice, to tell somebody about Jesus Christ that through your testimony they might be saved? Well, you say, well, I hadn't done that in a long time. Then you're not fulfilling your responsibility to Jesus, and you're not doing what he sent you here to do. Imagine if Jesus Christ had been so casual with his purpose in being here as we are. That'd be tragic. He wouldn't have accomplished in 3.5 years what he needed to do before he died on the cross. It would have been tragic. But he did go from place to place and always pleased the Father in those things. So you have a word that is to be preached to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have found that in the long time you haven't done anything about that, now you need to do something. You certainly have a separation from the world, but you need to go back to those you know in the world and tell them about Jesus Christ. You see, the world, through our testimony, needs to believe that God sent Jesus to save them. Look again at verse 20, and with it we'll read verse 21 in John chapter 17. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The world needs to believe that God sent Jesus Christ. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did send his Son here out of love for the world to bring others to Jesus Christ. But right now, Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of the throne of God Almighty. The feet, the hands, the eyes, the mouth, the ears of the Lord Jesus Christ are down here. When you got saved, you were baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, and you are in that body, left here, separated from the world, yet to preach and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, Jesus Christ said. Well, have you ever led anybody to Jesus Christ? Have you ever made an attempt to try to bring a soul to Jesus Christ? Be honest. You say, well, no, I really haven't. Then may I tell you something? There are numerous ways. You say, well, I'm pretty much bound to my house. Then get your phone book, pick up your phone, and call people that you know and start telling them about Jesus Christ. I know somebody in a small town that called everybody in the phone book in her small town to witness to him, even though she didn't know who a bunch of them were. Like a telemarketer. I don't recommend that you come with their attitude, but surely you could do that. I know people that have written letters. I know a fellow that put tracts inside of bottles that he threw in the Mississippi River, and they went out into, I think he received notes back from people in 48 different countries, and at one time had over 1,500 people who professed to have received Jesus Christ as their Savior after reading those tracts. Listen, we have friends that pass out Bibles. We have friends that are vocal in their witness. There are so many ways that you can tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you just simply fulfill your responsibility to Jesus Christ and your obligation to those in the world who are lost, from whom you are separated, and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, they might be saved? And you know something? Not only then will you escape Egypt, but they'll escape Egypt with you, because we get caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and to be with him. I pray that this message today will help you in your separation and in your soul winning. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.